I was informed that normally at this point we will have a Bible reading, but in tonight's study I'm actually going to be drawing upon three different passages. So instead of reading them all out at the beginning, I want you to have your Bibles open and ready as we go through the different parts of this message. But before we come to study God's Word together, let's once again seek the Lord in prayer and seek His blessing upon the preaching of His Word. Father, as we come now to a time of studying the Scripture, we ask, Lord, that we would hear Your voice. Lord, we do rejoice tonight that You are a God who is not distant, You are not far from us, but You draw near this evening and You speak to us from the pages of Scripture. Lord, tonight give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us. May we hear Your voice clearly and may we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. May You challenge us where we need to be challenged. May You convict us where we need to be convicted. And may You heal us where we need to be healed. Lord, would You be with me as I speak? May I know the liberty of the Spirit, the unction that comes from You. And may I be faithful to set forth Your word. And may You bless the preaching of the Scripture this evening. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, I'm sure that if I was to spend time with you after the service tonight saying, let me get to know you a bit better, let me find out more about you, to tell me what are you interested in, what's your hobbies, what excites you, that I'm sure that every single person I speak to would have different interests and different things that excite them. Different hobbies that they enjoy. Now, I've spoken to people who have some weird and wonderful hobbies, and if that's their thing, well, that's their thing. But for me, I must say that my hobby, the thing that I really enjoy the most, and sometimes I enjoy it a bit too much that my wife gets annoyed at me for, is the subject of history. I love history. I love looking back to times past, seeing what happened, but not just staying in the past, and then seeing how things have progressed to today and how history impacts us now. Now, one of the fascinating things I love about history is the fact that as Christians, we can look into the past and see stirring things that God has done. We can see that the Lord has worked in nations and among people groups, and we can see how He has allowed the gospel to spread to the ends of the earth. Now, what's truly fascinating is when we look at this nation. We look at our nation, and we see that our history is filled with God doing many wonderful things. The gospel has been on our shores for thousands of years. The good news has been in this island for many, many generations. As a culture, we have a long history of God working. In fact, scholars debate when exactly Christianity even came to the British Isles. Some would say it came in the 1st century, others would say it came in the 3rd century, but we know that sometime in that period, the truth came. Now there's a danger with that though. And it's that danger I want us to think about this evening. The danger is that with such a long history, with such a long and blessed, unique history of gospel ministry, we can almost become complacent in that we think that the gospel is still spreading in this land. We can become complacent in that we think that every single person we meet or encounter in the streets or in the community around about us, we can assume that they know the gospel. I mean, you can't travel far in the UK without seeing a chapel or without seeing the ruins of some Christian influence. And the danger is, as those who are familiar with Christ and His good news, is that we assume that everyone else is familiar too. But that certainly isn't the case. In recent days, I read a news article that says Britain is currently going through a crisis of unbelief. That Christianity is declining in this land. People in our culture no longer know or understand the gospel. as someone who's worked in evangelism over the years, I can say that I've spoken to many people on the streets of this country who have no idea and no concept of who the Lord Jesus is. In fact, most of them have only ever heard Jesus' name used as a curse word. We can't assume gospel knowledge. According to the Joshua Project, which is a ministry devoted to reaching the unreached people groups, 7.9% of the UK population is currently classified as unreached. That's 5.3 million people in the UK who have no access to the gospel. And that number does not include those who have access but are yet to hear. Now, I'm painting a grim picture for a reason. Just like a doctor will describe the problems before giving you the cure, I want us to see the problem tonight, that our land lies in great darkness. The nation around us doesn't have the light. And when we see the darkness, we as believers need to step back and say, we who have been forgiven much should love much. We who know and love the Lord Jesus, we who have been rescued by Christ, have been commissioned by Jesus to carry the light into the darkness. And this evening, I want us to think about three calls to evangelism. Three calls to evangelism. That's the theme of tonight. The three calls that we have in Scripture that send us forth to declare the good news of Jesus. You see, tonight, I don't want you to sit here and just go through the motions of midweek Bible study. I hope that in some ways I can make you uncomfortable. Not uncomfortable in the sense I'm standing up here with a big stick and I'm going to beat you. No, I want to make you uncomfortable from the Word of God to the point where we stop and we all as individuals pause and consider, what can I do to make much of Jesus in my life? What can I do to carry the light of Jesus into the dark world? I don't want you to leave this chapel tonight the same way you walked in. Instead, my prayer tonight is that you will leave this chapel praying along with Isaiah the prophet, saying, here I am, send me. Well, the three calls of evangelism that I want us to watch this evening or examine tonight are found in several passages of Scripture, so we're going to be flicking back and forth in God's Word. The first call is the call from the triune God, and that is the call to go. The second call of evangelism is a call from the nations, and that is the call to come over. And the third call of evangelism is the call from hell, the call to send. So with that in mind, let us begin by hearing the first call to evangelism. The first call is from the triune God, and the call is go. And that is found in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. So Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, God's word says, also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. This is the go-to passage when it comes to preaching on missions and evangelism. I've lost count the number of times I've heard sermons from this verse detailing the call to evangelism. But as we step back and look at this passage as a whole, we begin to see that Isaiah has encountered something truly tremendous. We're told in Isaiah chapter 6 that he has seen a vision of the heavenly temple. And in that vision of the heavenly temple, as he gazes in wonder of the glory of the Lord before him, Isaiah notices angels are flying back and forth, declaring the holiness of the Trinity. And when Isaiah encounters the holiness of God, he is a man who is undone. He is a man who has a deep sense of conviction of sin come upon him, and he realizes that he is unclean. He stands before perfection, and all his sin is exposed. But then we see in Isaiah chapter 6 that God shows grace to Isaiah. He shows grace in that he provides forgiveness. and he cleanses Isaiah. And with that, the passage tells us that Isaiah now begins to overhear a conversation which is taking place between the Trinity. We have a conversation taking place between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And they're discussing the question of who will take their word, the truth of God, his word, to the nations. We could say they're discussing the problem of evangelism. God says, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Now note from the passage, there's no indication that God is speaking to Isaiah. It doesn't say, "And the Lord said unto Isaiah, who will go for us?" No, Isaiah simply says, "I heard the voice of the Lord." Isaiah, if you will, is eavesdropping in on a conversation that is taking place. He hears the question that is being asked, and his natural response as one who has been forgiven and rescued from his sin is to say, "Here I am, send me." A person who has encountered God, who has had all their sins forgiven, is a person who should hear the call of God to go, and their response should be simply to say, "Lord, here I am, send me." But so often we don't respond that way, do we? We hear the call to go, we hear the call to go and make much of Jesus, and our first response, and I say this as someone who's been guilty of this many times, is to throw up all the objections. "Lord, I know I should go, but I'm really busy right now. Lord, I know I should go, but I can't speak well. Lord, I know I should go, but I'm too old, I'm too young, I've got too much on, now's not a good time in my life. Or what if people laugh at me? What if I trip up? What if I say the wrong thing?" Well, you don't see Isaiah doing that. He is a man who's been rescued. He is a man who's been forgiven. He hears God say, "Who shall go for us?" And he puts his hand up straight away and says, "Here am I. Send me." He overhears what God says. And his response is one of obedience. "I will go. Send me." But as we listen to what God says here in this verse, as we listen to God saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" I would suggest that we actually can learn a little about the character and nature of God. Don't just hear the call, but step back and look at the one who is extending the call. We can learn much about God. You see, the God of the Bible, the God who says, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" is a God who is interested in his truth going to the lost. He wants his word to spread. God desires that his people will go and tell others about him. It shows us that our God is a missionary God. He is a God who wants people to know him. And I know that can be sometimes shocking to us in the Reformed life, because we can get so focused on the wonderful truth of predestination that we almost forget that God wants people to know him. If he didn't, he wouldn't have predestined anyone unto salvation. God desires the conversion of the lost. And we know that God desires the conversion of the lost by simply looking at who he is and then seeing how he acts in the gospel. You see, God made us and God loves us, but what have we done as humanity? We've turned our back on God. We've told God to clear off. We've done our own thing and we bring death and judgment upon ourselves, yet God still desires the conversion of the lost. We know that because God the Father in love chooses a people to be saved. Then God the Son, Jesus, comes to this earth to die for the sins of his people. Then God the Son sends God the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and to bring us to salvation. The whole of the Trinity, one God in three persons, works together in evangelism, in the desire to save the lost. This is our God that we worship. He desires people to be saved. But the call to go is extended to us. It's a wonderful act of grace. It's a wonderful act of love. God doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us. And he says to those whom he has rescued, I've got a job for you to do. Go. You see, God saves us and commissions us and sends us out to make much of Jesus. Jesus left the glories of heaven to come down to rescue us, and now he calls on us to leave the comforts and pleasures of our daily life to go and make him known. The first call of evangelism is a call from God. The God who desires the conversion of the lost, and his call to us is, go. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Or as Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Do you hear the call from the triune God? Place your ear against the Bible and you can hear him say very clearly, go. Are you going? Are you being obedient to this command of the Trinity to go and make Jesus known? Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? The first call of evangelism is to go. Well, that now leads us to our second call of evangelism, and that's the call from the nations. The call from the nations to come over. So please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. We're going to be reading verse 6 to 10, and we're going to hear the call from the nations. Acts 16, 6 to 10. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after then they came to Mysia. They are saying that there's a desperate need of evangelism, not just in our nation, but indeed in all nations. The gospel must spread throughout all the nations of the earth. Late last year, the population of the world broke 8 billion people. There are now over 8 billion people on this planet. All of those 8 billion people are made in the image of God. They are known by God and they are loved by God. They are eternal souls that will live on forever somewhere, either in hell because they are dead in their sin, or in heaven because the Lord Jesus rescued them. There are many people today who are born, who live and who die without ever hearing the gospel. There is a massive need amongst the nations. There is a desperate need for Jesus in all nations. Now, we in the West have a unique advantage. And without getting into the politics of it all, we live in a time when the nations are coming to us. The nations are coming to us. We live in a land that has access to the gospel. And people from all around the world are coming to this little island. Now, we can get bogged down on the politics. We can get bogged down on how we're going to survive as a nation. But I would suggest, as citizens of Christ's kingdom, our first duty is to look at them and say, how can we tell them of a wonderful Savior? How can we reach them with the good news of Christ? Even in our small towns, there are people from all around the world. Just today, I was doing an outreach in Trowbridge, and as we were setting up the outreach, I saw two men walking towards us in full military uniform. And as I approached, I thought, there's something not right with this uniform. That doesn't look like the standard British Army uniform. As I got closer, I noticed their rank slides were upside down and different to what British or Australian forces will have. But then I saw on their arm a little Ukrainian flag. Ukrainian soldiers coming here to train, to fight, to go to war. Well, let's not just give them bullets and guns, let's give them Jesus. What a great opportunity we have. Just as you drive home this evening, if you see people walking around, you'll see people from all different nations. You'll see people of all different language backgrounds. The nations are coming here. We can reach the ends of the earth almost without leaving our shores. The nations need Jesus. And here in Acts chapter 16, we see this fascinating encounter. The Apostle Paul has desired to spread the gospel into Asia. But as he was planning to go into Asia, God the Holy Spirit steps in and says, no, you're not. You're not to go there at this point. But then what happens? Well, he has a vision. A man from a completely different nation, a man from Macedonia, appears to him in a vision saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, we don't know if this was a real man that God allowed Paul to see or if the Holy Spirit was merely giving Paul a vision. But what we do see is that the nations need the good news, that there were people in Macedonia that needed to hear of Jesus. And their call is, come over. Come, bring us the truth. Come, evangelize us. Tell us the good news. You see, the scripture makes it clear that there are people from every tribe, every nation, every people group that will one day be in heaven. Revelation 5 and Revelation 7 makes that crystal clear. But for those people to be in heaven worshipping the Lamb that was slain, the gospel of that Lamb who was slain must first go to them. And when they hear the gospel, many will come to believe. You see, the nations tonight stumble in the darkness. They look for hope in politics, and there is none. They look for hope in wealth, and they don't find it. They look for hope in the pleasures, and they can't find any. They are lost. And that's something that is common to every single people group. Every single people group knows that God exists. The Bible says we're all without excuse. We know God is there. Every single person has a knowledge of sin. Romans 2:15, God has put his law upon our hearts. Every single person has no excuse. But every single person in the world doesn't know how to resolve the issue of their sin. The solution to their sin problem is Jesus. And the only way they'll find that solution is if we tell them. And that's why the nations call out, come over and help us. Delving back into history for a moment, it is fascinating when you read missionary history or evangelism history. You often read accounts of missionaries going in to certain tribes or people groups. And when they get there, the locals greet them by saying, we have been waiting for someone to tell us about God. Now, it doesn't happen in every case. But there's been numerous accounts like that where people know there's something wrong and they need the truth brought to them and they're waiting. And in Acts 16, we catch a glimpse of that mindset when the Macedonian man says, come over, help us. Come over and bring us the truth. That's the second call of evangelism. Come, help us. Come to the nations. And Paul, upon seeing this vision, what he does is he immediately says, how can I reach them? He makes plans. We too must make plans to reach the nations. We too need to plan to reach those who are from all parts of the world. How can we do it? Well, we must see the nations first and foremost coming. And we must hear their call. And we must go. Well, let's now look at the third call of evangelism. The third call of evangelism, and that's found in Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31. Luke 16, 19 to 31. And the third call is the call from hell. And it's the call, send. Luke 16, 19 to 31. God's word says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Hell is the last place you'd expect to hear a call to evangelism. But as we look at Luke's gospel here, we see just that. Here is a man in torment. A man in the flames. And he cries out that someone be sent to his family so that they would not come to hell. You see, the passage tells us this rich man, this man who had everything in life but died without Christ, well, he ended up in hell. And he desires now not just water to cool his tongue, but he desires someone to take the message of Jesus to his family. He doesn't want them to perish too. I've heard at many of funerals, preachers, when they're presenting the gospel message, saying, what would your loved ones say to you now? If they could speak. Well, in this case, we know what their loved one would say. He'd say, send someone. Send someone. Send someone to tell them the truth. It's too late for those in hell to be saved, but those who are there, those who are suffering, knows what awaits their loved ones. Those who die in their sins cry out, send, send. It should shock us to our core that those who are in torment because of their sin desire people to go and tell their friends and family about Jesus. Those who are there, who know the truth of hell, say, send. But sadly, what happens is today, so many Christians who will give lip service to the doctrine of hell, who say we really do believe in the doctrine of hell, often live as if we don't. We have an opportunity to tell people of Jesus. The only way to escape the fate that awaits them. But have we forgotten the reality of hell? Have we forgotten that every single person we meet will spend eternity somewhere? Those in hell, well, they know. But do we? Do we? You see, the call to evangelism from those in hell is send. Send someone. Send someone to share the good news. Well, we have three calls to evangelism tonight. From God, go. From the nations, come. From hell, send. And as we hear these calls, we have to ask ourselves the question, do I hear the call and will I answer it? Will I answer the call? Now, William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said to those who questioned the call these words. He said, "Not called, did you say? Not heard the call, I think you should say. Put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their father's house and bid their brothers and sisters and servants and masters not to come there. Then look Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell him whether you will join heart and soul and body and circumstances in the march to publish his mercy to the world." The call has been extended. Would we hear? And would we answer? Well, I don't want to finish by saying, here's the call. I want to give you three ways in which you can answer that call, to try and give you some practical guidance and help on how we can answer the three calls to evangelism. The first way we answer the call is by praying. And we're going to come to a time of prayer soon. And we should be pleading with the Lord to save the lost. Pleading for the Lord to use us in whatever way he sees fit. Prayer is vital. Pray for gospel workers. Pray for the lost. Pray that Jesus would rescue sinners and allow his gospel to flourish. Pray also that the Lord will give you an open door to speak of Jesus. But then also pray that he would give you the boldness to make the most of that opportunity. So we answer the call by praying. The second way we can answer the call is by sending. By sending. Send out gospel workers. Support gospel ministry. When William Carey, the father of modern missions, went to India, he had many friends back here in Britain who said, "If you go down the well, we'll hold the rope." In other words, they're saying, if you go, we will support you. We will send you. And we can still do that. We can still support people. We can support gospel ministry. We can support evangelism with your words of encouragement, with your prayers, and even with your finance. Leonard Ravenhill rightly observed that today we spend more money on pet food than we do on evangelism. Now, there's nothing wrong with having pets. In fact, the Bible tells us a righteous man looks after the life of his animals. But there is a need to use the money that the Lord blesses us with to reach people for Jesus. Even a few pounds is better than nothing. There's something people have found very helpful as they think how they can send and support missions or evangelism. As they said, they've sat down with their budget and said, right, how can we tighten our belt just a little bit so that we can free up a few quid here or there to reach the lost? And what they do, instead of just giving £1 or £2 a week, they put it aside in a money box or in a bank account, and then at the end of the year, as it's built up, they then say, right, we'll give this money to missions or evangelism. Others have said whenever they get a coin in their wallet, they will drop it in a little money box, and they'll then give that to missions at the end of the year. Every little bit helps. Others have said what they've done is they've assessed their luxuries. Do I really need to buy that overpriced cup of coffee? Do I really need that item? Or can that money be used to help send the gospel forth to the world? Well, the third way we can answer the call to evangelism is to go. Pray, send, go. If you hear the call to evangelism, then why not go? You'll say, well, I don't know how to. That's fine. There's people that will happily help you learn how to do it. Talk to your pastor. He has resources ready for you to distribute. Tracts, Bibles, outreach opportunities. I was particularly encouraged a couple of weeks ago to work with him here in this town in the open air. Not many pastors will lead from the front in evangelism. Get behind him, support him, encourage him, go with him. Sit down and say, Pastor, how can I be used in outreach? What can I do? And he probably has a list of things that needs to be done. And I say that as someone who has served as a pastor, there's always lots to do. But the laborers are few. Age is no barrier. There's always something that can be done. Several years ago, back home in Australia, I had this one lady come up to me, a lovely old saint. And I just preached on the importance of evangelism. She was all distressed. And she said, Pastor, what can I do? I'm old. I'm shut in all week. I don't see anyone. How can I evangelize? And I said, pray. And she said, I do that, but I want to do more. I want to tell someone of Jesus. What can I do? And she was depressed at that thought that she couldn't do anything. So I said to her, I said, are you sure you don't see anyone all week? And she goes, no, I see no one. My only outing is to come here to church on Sunday. And the only other person I see is the nurse who comes and cares for me. And as she said that, her head lifted up and she had a smile. She goes, my nurse doesn't know Jesus. Well, that dear old saint set about trying to evangelize her nurse. Now, I forgot all about it. And a few weeks later, I was preaching. And sitting in her usual seat was this dear old lady with probably the biggest smile I think I've ever seen. And sitting next to her was another lady. And after the service, I got introduced to that other lady. This is my nurse. She's come to know Jesus. You see, what this older lady did was she prayed and she looked for opportunities. And she gave the nurse a gospel CD and said, I would really love your thoughts on this. And the nurse listened to the preaching, got converted. And started attending the church. Age is no barrier. We've just got to look and pray, Lord, bring someone across my path so that I might tell them of Jesus. The three calls of evangelism: go, come, send. And we answer by praying, sending, and going. How will you respond tonight? How will you respond? Go make much of Jesus in all that you do, and you'll find the Lord will bless the work, and he will save the lost to the praise and the glory of his name. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the gospel of grace. We thank you, Lord, that you pursued us and sought us when we were far from you. That you, in love, pursued us and drew us to the Son. We praise you tonight, Lord Jesus, that you died for us and that you rose again from the dead. We are thankful for the blessed Spirit of God who brought about conviction and pointed us to Jesus and now seals us unto the day of redemption. Lord, may we tonight remember the gospel that you saved us with, and may you give us a burden and desire to go and make much of Jesus in all that we do. Lord, may we not be satisfied with where we are this evening in our walk with you. May you stir us up and give us a greater love for you and our love for a neighbor. Our love where we will be compelled to speak to them of the good news of salvation. Lord, even in the coming days, would you open doors for us to speak of you? May every single person here in this chapel or watching online have opportunities in the days ahead to witness for Jesus. And Lord, as you give us those opportunities, may you also give us the boldness to speak. Lord, it is a fearful thing, a scary thing to speak of you to strangers. But Lord, we will go knowing that you are with us. That perfect love casts out fear. And because we love you and love the lost, we'll open our mouths and speak of Jesus. Lord, tonight may we all truly say of Isaiah the prophet, "Here am I, send me." And may that not just be lip service. May it truly be our heart's cry. Lord, here am I. Send me. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, before we come to a time of prayer, we're going to sing once again a grand missionary hymn. "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace." When Wesley wrote this hymn, that was his desire. He wanted to see people come to worship God. But notice in verse 2 how that comes about. "My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad, the honors of thy name." Hey, Lord, we want you to save people, to bring worshippers in, but assist me to proclaim Jesus. Let's sing, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing."